This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, in the previous few ahadith, we've been looking at the external practice or the moral values of the Muslim that they should uphold. A lot of these external practices, to rectify them in all honesty, lies within the chest of the individual. That if the heart is pure and sound, automatically the body, the mind, the actions of the individual will become pure and sound. And thus we find that Al-Islam, or specific the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, came to purify both elements, purify the internal heart and the soul of the individual, and to couple that with external practices. Good practices stem from a good heart. And as Allah mentioned, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. On that day your children and your wealth will not avail you, except for the person who comes بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ, with a sound, a good heart. Another passage inside the Qur'an that we find, this Qur'an is a tazkira, reminder for every heart which is awwab, which is repentant, hafiz, one who is preserving the rules and regulations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَذَكِّرْ بِالْقُرْآنِ مَنْ يَخَافُ وَعِيدٍ. At the end of Surah Qaf, the 50th chapter of Qur'an that we find, فَذَكِّرْ بِالْقُرْآنِ, remind the people with the Qur'an. The Qur'an, reminder of the Qur'an, begins inside the heart of the individual. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ أَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. So they ponder and reflect over the Qur'an, is there shackles, chains which have been placed upon their hearts? So for a person to see their receptiveness towards the Qur'an is how much the Qur'an penetrates within them and begins to change their life, bring the person closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's Allah mentioned at the beginning of Surah Al-An'am, that the Qur'an is recited upon these individuals. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Those who, when they hear the ayat, or before that, the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, their hearts begin to quiver, they begin to shake. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. When verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recited to them, it increases them in iman. An increase of iman leads to action. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. It leads them to place their total trust in or with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not just to marvel at the reciting of the Qur'an. أَفَمِنْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ تَعْجَبُونَ. Do you just marvel at this statement? The marvel at the Qur'an. That's unfortunately what many of us have become. To marvel at the Qur'an. The Qur'an should lead the person towards tatbiq. That's what you find inside the ayat, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَتَّبَّرُ آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَتَّبَّرُ. Imam al-Hasan al-Basri mentions لِيَتَّبَّرُ بِمَعْنَى يُطَبِّقُهُ. Not just to ponder and to reflect upon it, but to implement the Qur'an inside your lives. That's what ulama have discussed about virtues or rights, hukukul Qur'an, that belong to the individual. To use the Qur'an to purify ourselves. And thus we find the pure external internal element, as we mentioned, is brought together on certain occasions, whether it be via the Qur'an or via the sunnah or on a blessed day. The blessed day of Yawmul Jum'ah that we find, as we're going to look at the hadith of today, about how it brings the purification of the external elements of the moral fiber, the internal intent of the individual on his blessed day of Yawmul Jum'ah that we find. For those who lost their lives on his blessed day, because there's individuals who don't like Yawm al-Jum'ah. Don't like the gathering of the Muslims we're going to touch upon. As for the hadith of today, ghusl yawm al-Jum'ati ala kulli muhtalimi. To perform the ghusl, the bathing on the day of Jum'ah, is compulsory for every single individual who's reached the age of puberty. وَالسِّوَاقٌ وَيَمُسُّ مِنَ الطِّيبِ مَا قَدْرَ عَلَيْهِ. To use the siwa, the tooth stick, to use tīb, good fragrance, on this day, whatever the person is able to do so. وَلَوْ مِنْ طِيبِ الْمَرْأَةِ أَوْ مِنْ طِيبِ أَهْلِهِ فِي بَعْدَ riwayat. Hadith fi Muslim. But to even use the perfume of one's family, or one's wife, to use that perfume to come out on the day of Yawm al-Jum'ah. فَضَعِلْ يَوْمُ الْجُمْعَةِ لَا تُحْسَى. Virtues of Yawm al-Jum'ah are numerous. So many that we need to remind ourselves about what a great day Yawm al-Jum'ati is. Whether it be that we find inside the Quran that we find a whole complete surah, the 62nd chapter of the Quran, a Medinan surah, entitled Surah al-Jum'ati. It would be sufficient. Will suffice us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed a whole surah inside the Quran speaking about the fada'il, the virtues of Yawm al-Jum'ati. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة فاسعوا إلى ذكر الله وذروا البيع. Oh, you believe when you hear نودي للصلاة, when the call is given for يوم الجمعة, فاسعوا إلى ذكر الله, hasten, rush. ولكن فسر hasten, some people may say that we don't rush towards prayer. ولهذا هناك قراءة فمضوا قراءة عند عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه. فمضوا mean proceed, get ready to come towards, prepare yourself towards يوم الجمعة. وحتى من معاني إقامة الصلاة وأقيم الصلاة. What does أقيم الصلاة mean? الصلاة doesn't mean just to come to الصلاة. أقيم الصلاة means قبل الصلاة, before الصلاة, to prepare yourself, prepare yourself to come to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to come and perform your prayer. And like on Yawm al-Jum'ati, that person prepares themselves accordingly. It is a great ni'mah, a great blessing. If you read through the fada'il of Yawm al-Jum'ati, it was offered to the previous nations, offered to the Jews, offered to the Christians. They chose Yawm al-Sabt. وَالنَّصَارَ اِخْتَارُ يَوْمُ al-Ahad. They chose Sunday. Jews chose Saturday and Christians chose Sunday. And you find فَهَدَانَ اللَّهُ لَهُ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided this Muslim ummah towards يوم الجمعة. And like we find in other narrations that we find وَكَذَلِكَ هُمْ تَبْعُ لَنَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And as you find a day of judgment, they will follow us. They will follow us on the day of judgment, because نَحْنُ الْآخَرُونَ السَّابِقُونَ. We're the last ummah, but we're going to be the first ummah to go to Jannah. They're going to come after us. Likewise, يوم الجمعة is بدء الخلق, the beginning of creation that we find. Creation of the heavens and the earth. The day that Adam alayhi salam was created. The day that Adam alayhi salam was sadly at the same time expelled. On يوم الجمعة, expelled from Jannah. And likewise, you find that يوم القيامة will begin on يوم الجمعة. It's a blessed day, a blessed gathering. But at the same time, it becomes a worrying factor that the end of times will begin from يوم الجمعة. That's you find the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام in صلاة الفجر read يوم سورة الجمعة والمنافقون. And the ulama begin to discuss why, what is the reason? Study these two surahs. You see the bushra of the believers, the sending of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, and the four tasks that were given to him, and how the individuals who deviated, al-Yahud deviated away from the path, that they become like al-hima, yahmilu asfara, like donkeys carrying books on their back. You know, why does the Quran at times use such harsh language to awaken the Muslims, that don't become like those individuals who deviate away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or deviate individuals begin to think that we're going to enter into Jannah. So Allah mentions, aspire for death upon your own selves if you think that Jannah is going to be given to you. Then Surah Al-Munafiqun becomes a severe warning about hypocrisy, about those individuals who claim to believe but their action contradict their belief. And severe warning, al-munafiqun, read on Yawm al-Jum'ati that we find. Why are these surahs read? To remind us of, or if not, we find Alif Lam Mim Sajda, that we find surah, the 32nd chapter of the Quran, was surah al-Insan or surah al-Ism al-Akhir, surah al-Dahr. Why were these surahs read on Yawm al-Jum'ati? Read these surahs to see the intent of these surahs, what it delivers, what it speaks about creation, about the end, about time, about importance of time, about Jannah, about Nar. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, he read certain surahs, read certain passages to remind us about this blessed occasion that we find. And a person who prepares themselves for Yawm al-Jum'ati and comes to Yawm al-Jum'ati nice and early and doesn't separate between two individuals, that person will have the reward for the wiping out any sins for the previous Friday until the current Friday, and 3 days more, I mentioned some narrations, 10 days of pardoning and forgiving are given for that individual. Just like the hadith, the recital of Surah Al-Kahf that we find, to recite the 18th chapter of Quran, these 110 verses, to recite them on Yawm al-Jum'ati, the person will have nur, a light will be given for that individual from that one Jum'ah to the following Jum'ah. Wa fi ba'di riwayat, an extra 3 days, once again 10 days. All of this is for what purpose? To prepare the psyche of the individual, of coming together. And even more in the Western world that we find, this is the one occasion that Muslims, they meet one another. They gather together. And it wasn't until recently that fuqaha inside at Dimashq, Syria, may Allah liberate it once again, there was only one congregation. There was only one Yawm al-Jum'ah that people come together in one central masjid, al-Masjid of Jami', to meet, to show unity of Muslims. Obviously, we live in an environment whereby we cannot apply it, that we have so many separate masajid. But fuqaha have discussed that there should be one central masjid. All other masjid, just like al-Haram al-Makki, all other masjid should close. Everyone should just come to one masjid on Yawm al-Jum'ati to congregate there, to show the unity of the Muslims, to show the strength and the concern of the Muslims together as one ummah that we should be. And thus we find that missing Yawm al-Jum'ati for no valid reason is severe, because we live in a Western environment. We find that our faith is continuously being attacked. And some of us, unfortunately, we weaken. And we need to strengthen ourselves about our sha'air, about our symbols. When hadith in Sahih Muslim, a person who misses Yawm al-Jum'ati, Allah places a seal over the heart of that individual. Discussion begins to take place amongst fuqaha or ulama hadith, shurar hadith. What is the seal that is placed upon the heart of that individual? Other narrations that you find, a person who misses three Friday prayers, whether it's consecutively three Fridays in a go, وَبَعْدَ الْفُقَهَ قَالُوا, whether it's three Fridays in a year, any three Fridays, that Allah seals the heart of the individual. Harsh words. For us, life is trivial. We have so-called work commitments, family commitments. You know, most of us are so organized and disciplined inside our life that some of us have booked our holidays maybe for to 2020, 2021, we've already installed them. But Yawm al-Jum'ati wa Ramadan, bukra nashuf ba'dain. When we come to Yawm al-Jum'ah, then we'll worry about it. When we come to Ramadan, then we worry about it. But our personal life, our holiday, not saying it's haram to go away, to enjoy ourselves, to do things in life, it's all logged in. But Yawm al-Jum'ati, we make no extra effort to make sure that Yawm al-Jum'ati, annani fariq, that I'm free. I've devoted myself, Ramadan, I've devoted myself. And thus we find that Jum'ah for many of us has just become just a formality. The coming of Jama'ah that we find coming, you find harsh words referring to Yawm al-Jum'ati. Person does not attend the congregation, the Prophet alayhi salam to someone to go to their homes and burn their homes for not coming to Yawm al-Jum'ati. And likewise, he mentioned such harsh words in the Sunnah of Abi Dawood about Salatul Jama'ati, Lirbijali. Men should pray their prayers in Jama'ah inside the masjid. If you live in an Islamic environment, there's no excuse at all. Because لماذا بني المساجد? Why have the masajid been established? Why have they been placed there? That a person can choose to go to the masjid, don't, if they want to go, don't go. No. If a person is in the moment in our hey, in our environment, in Newham we have approximately 55 masajid in a radius of 3 miles or so. Person should have no excuse. وحتى بعض الفقهاء الحنفية قالوا إذا صلوا منفردا فلا تقبل صلاته. Person prays on their own, doesn't come to the jama'ah. Even though it's not the most accurate statement, it shows the harshness. They said that person's prayer is not accepted by Allah. لماذا? Why are fuqaha discussing this? Is it just trivial discussion? Is it just baseless discussion? Rather, they see the extremity of the warnings of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, of encouraging رجال هذه الأمة, the men of this ummah, to come to the gatherings, to pray in congregation. And that's what we find even in Yawm al-Jum'ah that we find it's just become a formality. The other things, Jum'ah will be cancelled, Jum'ah will be skipped, that we find. And even some of us travelling, yeah, it's on Yawm al-Jum'ah. But it goes back to what is the intent? That some people will skip Jum'ah. Well, it's best to try to avoid travelling Yawm al-Jum'ah, even though it's allowed. If your intent becomes to miss Yawm al-Jum'ah, to be away from the masjid. Even when a person travels, they travel to a Muslim land. إِذَا سَمِعَ النِّدَاءَ فَاسْتَجِبْ لَهُ. If you're traveling in a Muslim country, if you hear the adhan, you have to respond. مَا تَقُولْ أَنَّنِي مُسَافِرٌ. Person can't say they're traveling unless they have to catch their plane, catch the train, or do something. If they hear the adhan, they have to respond to the adhan. وَلَوْ كَانَ مُسَافِرًا. Even a person is praying. You find a person came into the masjid of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, and he sat there and the jama'ah was going on. Naturally the people were questioning, why is this person not praying? The person had prayed on their own. He rebuked him and said that even if you prayed on your own, if the jama'ah is going on, you should participate. Why? So there's no ill feeling. Likewise in the masjid as well, if the Imam Ratib is needing the prayer, it should not become habitual that you come late and you make your own jama'ah. One off is allowed inside the sharia, but habitual practice that every other day you are late and you make your own jama'ah, this is disrespect to the imam. This is disrespect to the masjid. It shows a lack of commitment of awqatus salah, tawqitus salah, of devotion, commitment to come into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we find that the people become heedless. Even Yawm al-Jum'ah that we find, people will text, people will converse, people will send messages. وَأَنَا شَخْصِيًا أَرَى. I see personally that even Yawm al-Jum'ah, a person reads Quran from their phone, she don't read it from their phone. لِمَاذَا? Because modern phones that you find, texts will come up, messages will come up, will disturb you. Once you come into the masjid, before the masjid, switch your phone off, close your phone, place it in your pocket. الْمَسَاحِفْ كَثِيرًا. Mushafs are many, pick up the mushaf and read from the mushaf. Maybe people will differ with me, there's no harm in reading from their phone, but on this basis it may disturb you, may take away your focus, and you begin to look at the message. The whole of your focus should be towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't become ghafileen, don't become heedless. You find that man massal al-asa faqad lagha. Whoever touches just the stones, the rubber, the dust on the floor in Yawm al-Jum'ah, faqad lagha, has played, has wasted their Jum'ah. Tasawwaru hadha. Whoever touches just a thread of the prayer mat, touches a stone in their way, straightens it out in Yawm al-Jum'ah, when the Imam is giving the khutbah, faqad lagha, has squandered their Jum'ah, wasted the Jum'ah, wasted their time. And thus we find the preparation of Yawm al-Jum'ah that we find. Ya Bani Adam, خذوا زينتكم عند كل مسجد. O children of Adam, خذوا زينتكم عند كل مسجد. Take your beautiful garments when you come to the masjid. Every time you come to the prayer, person should adorn themselves appropriately. وخصوصا يوم الجمعة. When a person comes to Jum'ah, it's not a formality. It's not just a worldly formality. You're coming, as we mentioned, to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take your beautiful garments. Numerous ahadith, Sunan Ibn Majah, that we find a person should have an extra garment for Yawmul Jum'ah. The person got two garments, they have another extra garment to adorn themselves to come to the gathering of Yawmul Jum'ah. وَغُسْلُ يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ عَلَى كُلِّ مُحْتَلِمِ. The performance of ghusl on Yawm al-Jum'ah, you find a long discussion in the fuqaha. A long discussion begins to take place in works of fiqh about, is it wajib to carry out the ghusl? Even the most accurate statement based upon this hadith was siwakum. We know that the use of the siwak is only highly mandub, highly recommended. So this basically we find this, the most accurate statement is not wajib. Even the word is used, wajib ala kulli muslim. It's highly recommended. Mean that if you don't have an excuse, the person should do their best. As in the narration that you find, for every seventh day, person should bathe themselves, prepare themselves to come towards Yawm al-Jum'ah that we find. And thus we find that a person who comes on Yawm al-Jum'ah performs the ghusl, bathes himself appropriately, comes early, sits quietly, listens, and that person will have the reward as if they've sacrificed a camel. Hadith inside Bukhari that we find reward for that individual. And likewise, you know, numerous other ahadith, the reward for coming early, then who comes next, and who comes next, until eventually the angels, when the imam comes, the angels close the record. Ayy fadl hadha, thumma al-malaika yastami' ila dhikr. Then the angels, they sit and they listen to the dhikr of Allah. هذا شيء عجيب. نعمة من الله. الملائكة تحفنا. The angels, they reside around us. They surround us. And they listen to the dhikr of Allah. But we find يوم الجمعة as just another formality. As just another part of life. If the person understands يوم الجمعة, the barakah of يوم الجمعة, that you find the Quran mentions, فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. When Jum'ah is finished, go out to the earth. Seek your sustenance. You know, the Western world has brainwashed us. That we think that as-salah, we think al-Jum'ah is something that's going to take away from our rizq, take away from our life. You find أكبر سبب لزيادة رزق للشخص الاهتمام بالصلاة. Ulama mentioned the most greatest way of increasing your risk, your provision, is your focus on as-salah. Because when you, as you mentioned, prepare yourself, there's no doubt it's difficult at times, 10-15 minutes before salah, to break away from your work, from your commitments, to bathe yourself, to wash yourself, to perform wudu, to read rawatib, to join the congregation, to finish up after that with azkar, then to read rawatib, to read sunan, to go back to your work, then return back again. Do you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to recompense that individual? That's what some of us that we think. That if I come to salah, what will be given to me? Ulama mentioned that Allah will recompense that individual on this dunya. That time that they spend will be given back to that individual. Barakah fi rizqihi, fi malihi, fi awladihi, fi hayatihi. Barakah inside that person's time, their life, their wealth, their provisions, their family members will be given to that individual. Wa siwakun. And to use the siwak that we find, these are all sha'air, symbols of Islam that we find. Ashra min al fitrati. 10 things are from the natural disposition of the human being. You know, we shouldn't shy away from our faith. We shouldn't shy away from our practices. But you know, disbelieving individuals, they do every single thing in their lives. The one that they love, their icon, their idols, their symbols, they'll do every single thing to imitate that personality, that individual. And we, as Muslims, we fall short. We find it, may Allah forbid, repulsive. We find it repulsive to follow the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. That's what we find it, unfortunately. We find that it doesn't give us a social class. It doesn't give us an uplifting. It doesn't give us a due respect in this world. Ashratu min al-fitrati that we find. 10 things that are natural disposition. To trim one's moustache. Wa i'fa'u lihya. To leave one's beard, to let it grow. To use as-siwak, what concerns us. Likewise, if I had to complete the hadith, to sniff up water whilst performing wudu and ghusl that we find. Trimming, cutting one's nails. Putting water between one's finger joints whilst bathing and performing wudu that we find. Plucking one's armpits, removing one's pubic hair that we find. And likewise, to wash one's private parts after going to the lavatory. These are all actions of fitrah that we find. Person shouldn't shy away from it. Person shouldn't feel upset. Person shouldn't feel ashamed. Person should rejoice that my deen has not left any stone unturned, but it teaches me how to urinate, how to defecate, how to cleanse, how to purify, how to eat, how to drink, how to sleep, how to do everything inside my life. It's taught me that. Because if that wasn't taught to us, then we would be just like everything else. Every other individual has not been guided towards the teachings of Al-Islam that we find. And likewise we find in a strange hadith speaking about fada'il al-Qur'an that we find, فَطَحِرُوا أَفْوَاهَكُمْ لِلْقُرْآنِ. Purify your mouths لِلْقُرْآنِ, by the use of siwak. In the silsila of hadith, al-hadith as-sahiha of Shaykh Nasir al-Din al-Albani rahmatullahi alayhi, قال أن سنده حسن أو جيد. وكذلك إمام منذري في الترغيب الترهيب mentions hadith فضل في فضائل السواك. Hadith is strange. When a person reads the Quran and has purified their mouth with the siwak, you find that the angels come close to that individual and approach, go into the mouth of that individual. الذي يقرأ القرآن. This has been collected in a hadith of Risala Majlisah, Fada'il al-Qur'an, virtues of the Qur'an, Fada'il Surah al-Qur'an. فَطَحِرُوا أَفْوَاعَكُمْ لِلْقُرْآنِ. Purify your mouths by the use of siwak before we recite the Qur'an. And likewise we find, وَيَمُسُّ مِنَ الطِّيبِ مَا قَدْرَ عَلَيْهِ وَلَوْ مِنْ طِيبِ الْمَرْأَةِ. And the final part of the hadith that we find is to use as much tib, as fragrance as a person can. Fragrance that they have inside their home, or fragrance of their family members, to use them. Likewise, to use oil to adorn themselves. In the hadith Sunnah Abi Dawood, we find حُبِّبَ إِلَيَّ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا الطِّيبُ وَالنِّسَاءُ وَجُعِلَتْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي السَّلَاةِ. Ajib. أَقْرَانَ بَيْنَ الطِّيبُ وَالسَّلَاةُ. Preparing yourself, beautifying yourself, and as-salah. حُبِّبَ إِلَيَّ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. The most beloved things to me on this earth whilst I reside amongst you is at-tib, sweet smelling fragrances. When nisa, women. وَجُعِلَتْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي السَّلَاةِ. And the coolness of my eyes have been placed inside as-salah. In coming to as-salah, at least the person should do inside their lives is those things that concern them. A person should prepare themselves for that and should have knowledge regarding that. The weekly gathering that we have at Yawm al-Jum'ah, the person should know the rites and regulations. The daily prayer, the rites and the regulations. When they perform Hajj, when they begin to enter the month of Ramadan, the person should know what rites and regulations that belong upon the individual. And this is a weekly gathering that we find. And as a person should go back and refresh their memory about the virtues of Yawm al-Jum'ah and the practice of Yawm al-Jum'ah. Even when a person falls into that, person may think these are only recommended actions. Read the virtues, read the concept of Yawm al-Jum'ah. And a person begins to understand that even if it may be a certain practice, look at the encouragement of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. You find that the weather is hot. Companions at that time when they were poor, downtrodden, wore woolen clothing. And some of them would come to the masjid and there will be, we can use such words, a foul stench or a smell. So then he said to them, go back and bathe yourself, wash yourselves. Come prepared on the Yawm al-Jum'ah. And that leads on to that we find that some of us come to Yawm al-Jum'ah inside our work clothing. Not saying it's haram, but we come, we just finish work, or wear the same garments and we come to Yawm al-Jum'ah, we come to the masjid. As we mentioned, يَا بَنِي أَدَمْ خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدْ. Take your best clothing when you come to the masjid. If there's an exception, that you have to come in that manner, it's acceptable. But don't make that the norm. That however you are, you just come to the masjid, dressed whatever manner that you may be. And likewise you find a foul smell. Numerous hadith speak about the onions, garlic. And in today's modern language that we find that smoke, cigarettes. وَأَصَحُ الْأَقْوَالِ لِلْتَدْخِينِ. And the most accurate statement about tadkhin and smoking, أَنَّهُ haram. It's haram. Fatwa لعلماء الأزهر الشريف ولجنة الدائمة وأهل العلماء في الديوبان. التدخين هو حرام. Smoking is haram. It's no longer what some people perceive that it's something which is makruh, disliked. التدخين هو حرام. It's forbidden. And people who smoke come to the masjid, a town of non-smokers, smell it on their clothing. As you find in the hadith, تَتَأَذَّى الْمَلَائِكَ, the angels are harmed via the raw garlic, the raw onions, the smell of these elements. And likewise smoking, they're harmed by this. And it disturbs the people around you. And as a person should be wary that anything that disturbs people is something detrimental. Detrimental towards their reward of their salah, as fuqaha mentioned, is diminished for those individuals. As for that, we find at-tīb, adorning ourselves with perfume. On Yawm al-Jum'ah, that we find in Riyadh al-Salihin, bab, qaraatu raddu al-rayhan li ghayr udhr. The chapter speaks about rejecting al-rayhan, sweet basil, sweet fragrance, rejecting it without any excuse. Man urida alayhi rayhan, fala yaruddahu fa inna khafifu al-mahmali tību al-rihi. Hadith in Sahih Muslim that we find. If someone gives you some sweet basil, a fragrance, don't reject it. لِأَنَّهُ خَفِيفُ الْمَحْمِلِ. It's very light to carry, very, very light to take. وَطِيبُ الرِّيحِ. And a beautiful fragrance that we find. In another hadith, Anas ibn Malik, he mentions, أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ عَلَيْهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ كَانَ لَا يَرُدُّ الطِّيبُ. Hadith fil Bukhari. He would not reject sweet-smelling fragrances. وَنَقِفْ عِنْدَ Anas ibn Malik. Anas ibn Malik that we find, his father, Malik that we find, died in Jahiliyyah, didn't accept Islam that we find, and his mother Sulaym, who married again. Sulaym, who's the mother of Anas ibn Malik. She is related to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Wa Rasul alayhi salam, ma kana yadkhul ala ay nisa, illa al-maharim. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would never enter upon any strange women, except for his wives and those who were mahram to him. He would enter into the house of Sulaym. As Ibn Abdul Barr, Sahib al-Tamheed, mentioned, either she was min al-Rada'a, from breastfeeding became mahram to him, or she was related to his mother, Sahib, one of his mother's sisters. Ayyuhal Fuqaha mentioned that she was mahram. Sulaym, Haram, both sisters, were mahram to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So he'd enter into her house when she would not be there. And he would recline and rest on her bed, on her farash, where she would sleep. He would rest there at times and go and come whenever he pleased. So one occasion you find that Sulaym, she enters. And when she enters, she begins to take possibly a bottle or a utensil and begins to do what? She begins to gather the sweat of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And the sweat, Araqul Rasul, huwa mas, is beautiful. This awoke the Prophet alayhi salam. He woke up and asked her, what are you doing? She said, I'm taking your sweat, innafihi al-barakah, to use it, place in our children. This is the sweat of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The beautiful sweat that we find. If you back the riwayat, you find that she placed a garment there. When he woke up, she'd take the garment and she'd drench it. She'd squeeze it and pour out the sweat and put it in containers, put it in bottles. This is the Prophet alayhi salam, his beautiful fragrance, the smell that he had. Obviously none of us can match that, come close to that, but we can use elements of using good fragrance and a good fragrance of his teachings. That his teachings have a sweet, long-lasting effect upon people. That's what we find, the Muslims, they have a long-lasting sweet effect upon people. People want to dismantle that. The hatred, the malicious nature of people that exist, unfortunately, on the earth. And what we visualize in this blessed day, Yawm al-Jum'ati, What sane individual, whatever hatred they had towards another way of life, another group of people, would go out and carry out such atrocities in cold blood, murder people, innocent people, shoot them, go on a rampage? What would the world response be? We read the Senator of Queensland, what the response is. Look how evil the response is. Forget about what happened. They deserve to die. This is supposed to be a civilized world, a civilized society, civilized people. But when Muslims are killed, then there's no value. There's no uproar. There's no concern. There's no terrorism then. 50 people innocently, they've been killed, going what, to perform their ibadah lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when Islam comes and it rises once again, it will take out the evil, uproot the evil, fight against the evil, give the downtrodden their rights. That's the beauty of Islam. That's the fragrance of Islam that they fear. Not just too far away from New Zealand, what do we find? The Polynesian islands, that we find a cluster of islands. How many the most populated country of Muslims is Indonesia? What relationship do they have between the Bedouin Arabs with Islam? A totally different language, culture, people, ethnicity, food, drink. Everything is different. But what made them enter into Islam? The traders, the business traders, people of akhlaq, tibun nafs, good people, good character, good behavior, entered amongst them. That led them to come into the fold of Islam. That's what we should rise with. That all the hardships, the difficulties that we're being, the onslaught continues together, we should rise far beyond that. And show people the sweetness of Islam, the goodness of Islam, halawatul iman, sweetness of faith, kindness of faith, good moral, good character, good behavior. To show them, this is what Islam is. This is what the teachings of Islam are, moral uprightness. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned numerous times inside the Quran, they want to extinguish the light of Allah. But Allah will make the light spread. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Whether the mushrikun, they may dislike that, disbelievers may dislike that, Allah will continuously spread the nur of Islam. Spread it on the face of this earth until it becomes a hujjah, evidence against them. That you was told about Islam. You were shown what Islam is. You were displayed what Islam was. You lived amongst Muslims. And you did not respond to this call. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability. And give sabr and patience to those individuals, the loved ones, that their life has been taken away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them an ultimate reward of being shuhada, being martyrs, in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, coming towards the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being in a state of purity, in a state of dhikr, a state of remembrance. That their death does not become futile, rather their death become an awakening for ourselves. To be worried about ourselves, worried about our community, engaging with our community, protecting our community, addressing the concerns of our community to the people around us and wider world.